I've never done any boat-based whale watching, have you? I've been, you know, we're lucky enough to live in a place where shore-based whale watching gives an enormous amount of pleasure. But boat-based whale watching has become an increasingly important part of the tourist industry. I'm told that there are 31 boat-based whale-watching permits, not all of them active, which have been awarded along the coastline, False Bay, Hermanus, Hans Bay, Neisner, Plettenberg Bay, Port Elizabeth, and St. Lucia. Now, if that's happening, what is the impact of this? What is the socioeconomic and conservation impact of this growing boat-based whale-watching industry? That is, we now know a little bit more in terms of the answers to those questions because of a sustainable marine tourism project conducted between the beginning of 2018 and the end of 2020 by the Nature's Valley Trust and the Nelson Mandela University, funded by the WWF Nedbank Green something or other. That's where my pay ends. Dr. Gwyneth Penry is a marine scientist, postdoctoral research through the NMU's Institute for Coastal and Marine Research and the project leader. Gwyneth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
And so, what is the impact?
Well, the a lot of the impacts on the animals, the work is still ongoing. With one of my PhD students who's working on that now. Globally, there have been several studies done that have shown negative impacts of an unsustainable industry. And they tend to have long-term impacts on the animals, which are quite difficult to observe. So you don't really see short-term changes, but over long periods of time, sustained disturbance can impact the energetics of the animals and have long-term effects on their reproduction and survival. And there have been cases where some species have even completely moved out of an area. That doesn't seem to be too much of a problem in South Africa at the moment. We have a fairly good industry here compared to other places in the world.
You didn't research the entire area, all of the places where permits have been issued, but you did do a case study around Plettenberg Bay, and that told you largely positive things then.
Yeah, that's correct. So our study was based in Plettenberg Bay with the intention that this project can be replicated in other places along the coastline. And we have, you know, one of the main reasons for doing it in Plett. We've got two long-standing whale-watching companies here, and there's also good vantage points from land that we can observe the animals from without having to be on the ocean. So, yeah, but apart from the animals, the impact, the economic side of things is also very interesting to see what the value of our whales and dolphins are to the local economy and to the towns that are dependent on tourism.
Well, pre-COVID, 370-odd million rand a year for Plettenberg Bay. That's a significant economic injection.
Yeah, I was really pleased when we got the results of the study, and it's just nice to have it down on paper, to see that figure. You know, we're really only coming to the end of the data collection stage, so implementing the results of this work, there's still going to be quite a bit of work to do. But just making sort of local, especially local municipality, realize the value that whales and dolphins and other marine life can bring into a town is worth protecting, you know, and worth marketing and you know, building on to create jobs and keep the local economy going.
92 jobs, which benefit approximately 250 people, and that's just one of the spots. And I don't know whether Plettenberg Bay would be better economically served by boat-based whale watching than Walker Bay, for example. It becomes then also very, very important not to do anything to negatively impact the chances of this continuing to be a decent economic contributor. I mean, it becomes very important to make sure that the people to whom the permits are offered use those permits responsibly, because there are There are reports, and they are regular reports, of boats going closer than the permit allows them to be and harassing the whales. And I'm told by some of the operators that they don't do that, that they're constantly harassed by the tourists to do that. The tourists keep saying, get me closer, I want to take a better photograph. And so those kinds of things have to be monitored as well if this is going to continue to be a bit of a golden cash whale for local economies.
Yeah, very much so. So there is economic imperatives to grow industry in the marine environment, and that's through different work streams, but tourism is one of them. And obviously there is capacity for the industry to grow, but it has to be done based on information for local areas. So so what we, you know, one of the reasons we started this project is to try and figure out, you know, if you allow too many operators in one area, that's going to have negative effects on the animals, which is then going to deplete the resource that the current operators are already dependent on, and the people who are being supported by that industry.
And it becomes a very difficult thing to manage, because there are a lot of folk looking at the money being made and saying, I want some of that too. And then local councillors get pressured to issue more permits beyond the ecological carrying capacity, because it's look at the impact it's having on jobs and local employment and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it becomes a very difficult thing to manage in the best interest of everything concerned.
Yeah, very much so. And just going back to your point about marketing and getting great shots, I mean, this is an issue in all wildlife tourism, on terrestrial and marine. And we've recently published a paper on this, looking at marketing and website content, and how operators promote their organizations using, you know, there's a delicate balance between wanting to put beautiful photos of whales and dolphins, but also making sure we explain, you know, the nature of that interaction. It was done within the guidelines, and the animal was allowed to approach rather than the boat chasing the animal. So, it's really important to make sure that marketing and tourists understand the regulations before they get on the boat, so they understand why you stay certain distances away. Yeah, and that's also been another big component of this project. And we've developed educational material and booklets that are nice and easy to read and follow, rather than the strict regulations. So, you know, we have strict government regulations in this industry, but they're not always accessible to people. So we've developed educational booklets for both recreational boaters and for the industry.
Thank you for doing that and for talking to us, Dr. Gwyneth Penry, a marine scientist and in charge of a research project looking at the economic and conservation impacts of boat-based whale watching.